In verse 28, and I'm hoping to cover a lot of things very, very quickly tonight. So go ahead and stand once you got your place there. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 1, and chapter 20, and verse number 8. Gospel of John, amen. By the way, I told you guys we're probably going to be in this a lot longer than I anticipated. Well, Gospel of John is one of those books that we're going to probably be in for some time. Amen. So Gospel of John, chapter number 1, if you've got your place there, we're going to be reading in verse number 1, then chapter number 20, and verse number 28. All right, everybody got those two areas. Anybody else other than Jamelli have those two areas? Amen. All right. Well, let's read John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Here we go. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen. All right. So beginning the Word was in the beginning was the Word. It was with God, and it was God. All right. Go over to John chapter 20 and verse 28. And again, we read these last week. Thomas answered, y'all read with me? And Thomas answered and said unto him, my Lord and my God. Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. John pretty much states his purpose right there. He wrote this gospel here for us to believe, and he gives us many, many things that we need to consider to help us believe. Father, help us now tonight over these next short moments that we have to gain a blessing, to glean from it, and Lord, to be encouraged by it. Lord, what's going on here in the Gospel of John, we thank you for being a great God to us and a glorious Father. Lord, work in us and work through us, Lord, and help us to find some things here that may cause us to leave here differently than when we came in, Lord, a little bit more like Christ. Lord, every time we see the Word of God, we should be changed into the same image from glory to glory. We thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated. Well, you outlined that last time. We looked at the New Testament part there at the top. We looked at the title. We looked at the author. We stopped at the contents part there. And I'm going to really harp on the number 7. How many have ever heard of the study of Numbers? Not the book of Numbers, but the numbers. Brother Neil has, amen. Some folks call it numerology or the study of numbers, amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that tonight because John has something about the number 7. Anybody know what number 7 stands for? G? Completion. Amen. I'm going to give you some things on the number 7. Now, it's going to overwhelm you when I give it to you. Amen. But stand by, brace for it. Amen. Because it's going to come. Notice under the contents there, it says the theme of John's gospel is Christ, the Son of God. John uses 7 of Christ's miracles during his ministry. And again, the miracles that he uses, guess how many there are? 7. Amen. It says use the 7 of the miracles there. This gospel clearly, deals with the nature and person of Christ and the meaning of faith in him. By the way, what does John 3:16 say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever what? Believeth in him should not what? Perish, but have what? Everlasting life. So Christ, the meaning, having faith in him. Notice it says John's direction is spelled out in 20:31, which we just read. These are written, dealing with what? These miracles, these testimonies, these witnesses, these things are written. Notice this, that you might what? Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that what? Believing you might have life through his name. In this gospel, Jesus also makes a series of I am statements. Guess how many I am statements there are? 7. Amen. 7 I am statements. Amen. And notice what it says down there, as well as other references establishing his claim to be the I am Yahweh of the Old Testament. And that is by witnesses. Guess how many witnesses say he's God the Son? Seven. Amen. You got it. Amen. You say, preacher, that's only three. Oh, there's a whole lot more than that. Amen. But that's what we're going to be talking about. Jesus goes through great lengths to explain the new birth, the Holy Spirit, and deal with confrontations concerning himself. And so a twofold reason I gave you last week of this gospel. Number one, providing or proving that Jesus is God the Son. Proving that Jesus is God the Son. The second one is giving signs, statements, and witnesses for belief. Amen. By the way, what do we normally ask for in a court of law? Witnesses. What is a witness supposed to do? An account of what's going on. Their account should be what? True. Amen. And so John does list that. Amen. I gave you the homework of believe. We looked up several of those last week. How many got a chance to look them all up? So I believe I ran out of time. Huh? Amen. All right. Well, let's look at a couple of those. Amen. Say, man, preacher, I ran out of time. There's too many believes. Amen. Let me find my list here. See where we stopped, where we left off at. Amen. All right. We left off at John 6:29. So let's go to John 6. We're not going to look at all these. We will look at a few here. Amen. John chapter 6. And when I get to the word believe, I need you to say believe. Amen. All right. John 6 verse 30. Amen. They said therefore unto him, what sign show us thou then that we may see and what? Believe thee. What dost thou work? And of course, Christ is going to do some works. Come down to verse number 36. Notice what he says in verse 36. But I said unto you that ye also have seen me, and what? Believe not. Come down to 664. But there are some of you that what? Believe not. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were that what? Believe not, and who should betray him. By the way, there is this misconception that God doesn't know who's saved. Amen. God knows who's saved. He knows who believes in him. Amen. We don't know, but God knows who believes and who doesn't. He knew Judas Iscariot was a devil. He knew he was a traitor. There was no peekaboo. There was none of that. Oh, like, oh, I didn't know you were a devil when I called you, Judas. He knew that. Amen. There was no peekaboo. There is no peekaboo when it comes to God. Amen. Come over here to John chapter 6 and verse 69. And we what? Believe and are sure that thou art that Christ, the who? Son of the living God. Come over to chapter number 7, verse number 5. For neither did his brethren what? Believe in him. Brethren, are that Jewish or are those his blood brothers? Blood. You know, it's bad when your blood brothers don't believe you. You know who's the hardest to convince oftentimes? Family. Family. Man, when I went home and told folks I was saved, they were like, yeah, all right. I had one of my cousins, Rodney. And Rodney said, man, Greg saved for real. Why? He knew me in and out. Me and him went everywhere and did everything together. And he knew there was a change in me when I came back. And he said, whoa, something happened. He's not the same. Something's different, amen. Come over to chapter 7 and verse 39. Notice down there. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that what? Believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. Amen. Come over to chapter number 8. Chapter number 8, verse number 24. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if ye what? Believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. That's pretty point blank and to the point, amen. Verse 45, notice what he says down there. And because I tell you the truth, ye what? Believe me not, amen. Verse 46, and it says this, which of you convinces me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not what? Believe me, amen. So we're going to stop there. We'll pick up a few more of these next week, amen. There are more. It goes on. It gets better. But now there are a seven I am statements. There are seven witnesses and there are seven miracles and there's some other sevens as well. Let me list you a couple here because there's actually a set of five sevens in John's miracle. The seven I am sayings, the seven sign miracles, the seven witnesses, and there's the seven word pictures of faith in John listed and seven equalities of Jesus with God the Father in things that he did He said, my Father does this and I do this. And we're not going to be able to look at all that in this study, amen, but we're going to give it a good try, amen. One of the first things I want to do is look at something called the number seven. If John mentions that a whole lot, there's got to be some significance, wouldn't you say? Amen. I've got a book here, and Brother Neil, I don't know if you've got this book or not. Do you have the Principle of Biblical Hermeneutics?
No, not that smart.
This is a dynamite book. I got this when I was a baby Christian because I was dubbed as number five. How many have seen that movie, Short Circuit? Johnny number five? What was his claim to fame? What did he always say in the beginning? Started with need. Close, need input. He was a robot going around. He's always saying, need input, need input. He wanted to know. And whatever he got in, that helped him to function better. I would always go to my pastor and say, I need input. What is this? What is that? What is this? He said, brother, you need to get this book. Amen. This book is called Principles of Biblical Hermeneutics. Amen. What does that mean? That means the interpretation. Interpretation, go finding the meaning, how to interpret things. And it has a laundry list of things in here that biblically need interpreting. Man, I got that book, and man, I was like a kid in a candy store. I went crazy. And I came on to the chapter called The Numerical Principle. And it tells you what each number biblically represents. Now, I don't agree with absolutely everything he says, but most of what he says is spot on. If you really want to get to some deep, deep study, amen, pick up this book called Principles of Biblical Hermeneutics, J. Edwin Hartill. They probably got it online by now. I bought it back in the 90s, amen. I say, preacher, was that a long time ago? It's a long time ago, amen. But on the principle, this is what it says about the numerical principle when it comes to the number seven. I found this fascinating. It says, this is the number of divine fullness, perfection, and completeness. It is one of the perfect numbers and comes from a Hebrew word meaning to be complete, to be full, to be satisfied, to have enough. He lists some things that deal with seven outside of the scripture. Then he dives into the scripture. Notice some of these things because when they'll say, preacher, why are we going through this? Because John goes with the seven I am, the seven miracle signs, and the seven witnesses, amongst other things. He says this. He says, outside of scriptures, this number is unique. In botany, botany is divided into seven branches. He says, there are also seven stages in the life of a fruit-bearing plant. Fruit, stem, leaves, flower, stalk, flower, root, and seed. Amen. He says, there are seven beneficial cereals for man grown throughout the entire world. Wheats, oats, barley, maize, rye, rice, and millet. He said the human voice is divided into seven parts, bass, baritone, tenor, counter alto, alto, mezzo soprano, and soprano. He said music is divided as well. There's PP, what is that, G2? PP for piano. Really soft piano. Then there's P, what is P? And then there's MP, mezzo piano, what is that? Then there's M, what is that? And then there's M, moderate fortissimo. So you got the MF, then you got the F. What is the F? Fortissimo. And then the FF, fortissimo for that. That's loud, like most kids are, right? Amen. And so he said, it's interesting, though, the number seven in the body. The human body is composed of seven tissues, the brain, nerve, blood. And then he goes on with some other stuff. There are seven parts of the body, four limbs, a head, a neck, and a trunk. He said, there are seven holes in your head, two ears, two eyes, two in your nose, and one in your mouth. Wow. Amen. Now, I'm not a doctor, so I don't know this stuff, but I'm like, this sounds good. Amen. He said there are seven bones in each wrist, seven muscles between the bones in the hands and feet, seven classes of colors of eyes, seven openings in the throat. He says seven more bones in the backbone of a child than an adult. Amen. He says when we are 7 months old, we begin to cut our teeth. When we are 7 years old, we begin to lose them. Amen. He said there are seven types of connecting tissue, seven layers of ventricles in the heart, seven bones in the neck. Amen. I mean, he just goes on here with a laundry list of stuff. He says, there is a 7-day regulation of the pulse beat. Now, this is interesting. There's a 7-day regulation of the pulse beat. For 6 days out of 7, the pulse beats faster in the morning than in the evening. He says on the seventh day, it beats slower in the morning than in the evening. He said, i.e., we need rest. How about it for the Sabbath? Amen. That's amazing. That is amazing. I thought, glory to God. He lists some other stuff about outside of scripture, but then he goes inside the scriptures. Inside the scriptures, he says in Revelation, we find how many churches? Seven churches. How many seals? Seven seals. How many trumpets? Seven trumpets, amen. Seven vials, seven dooms, seven new things. He said there are seven glories of the Son of Man, of his head, his hairs, his eyes, his feet, his hands, his mouth, his countenance, amen. he goes on to say the word Jesus Christ in the Revelation is found seven times. Jesus Christ is found seven times in Revelation. Amen. The vengeance and wrath of God are found seven times. A dragon is found 13 times. Who knows what number 13 stands for? G? Well, no, that's what the world thinks. Amen. 13 stands for evil or rebellion. That's why when children turn 13, people say, oh, you're turning 13. You're going to be a rebel. Amen. You don't have to be. Amen. By the way, a lot of elevators don't have a 13th floor. I mean, buildings don't have a 13th floor. They think it's unlucky. No such thing as luck, amen. Superstitious, amen. But there is 13. By the way, in the book of Revelation, what chapter do you think the Antichrist is finally revealed? 13. Chapter 13. Interesting, isn't it, amen? He says down here, seven miracles are recorded in John. There are seven sayings on the cross. Amen. In the 22nd chapter of Genesis, the angel of the Lord called out to Abraham twice. And there are seven people throughout scripture who receive this double call. Who can name those seven? Abraham. Abraham is one. Samuel. Samuel's another. Moses. Moses is another. Not Adam. He's at Adam one time. Adam. Worked out. Well, no. Is Adam on this list? No, he's not on this one. Who else? Not Joshua. Abraham received a double call, Jacob, Samuel, Moses, Martha, Simon, and Saul. Why persecutest thou me? Amen. Let me see. I got them here somewhere. Where are they at here? Because I wanted to copy them down. I said, let me make sure. Let me go in there and check that out and see if this is true. Amen. I said, well, yeah, they are there. Amen. All right. Here we go. Abraham, Genesis 22:11. The angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. He said, here am I. Genesis 46:2. And God spake unto Israel in the visions of the night and said, Jacob, Jacob. And he said, here am I. 1 Samuel 3:10. The Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, answered, speak, for thy servant heareth. Exodus 3:4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. And he said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here am I. Luke 10:41, Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. Luke 22:31, the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan had desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. Acts 9:4, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuteth thou me? So seven of these folks got a double call. I found that very, very interesting. He goes on to say this. He said in Isaiah chapter 11 and verse number 2, the second verse, there's a sevenfold description of the Holy Spirit as resting on the Lord. Let's go to Isaiah 11:2, see if you can pick these out. Isaiah 11:2. What am I saying? The number seven is very special, and John takes a very good notice of that by the Spirit of God. Isaiah 11:2, see if we can pick out these seven spirits. Isaiah 11:2. Amen. All right. Who's that 11:2? All right, Terrell, read that.
And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and
wisdom. All right, so let's pick them out. Spirit of the Lord, how many is that? One, the Spirit of wisdom, what is that? Two, understanding, what is that? Three, Spirit of counsel, that's four, might, that's five, Spirit of knowledge, that's six, fear of the Lord, that, what is that? Seven, amen. So seven of those. Folks, it gets better. He goes on to the New Testament in Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. There are seven gifts given: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhorting, giving, ruling, and showing mercy. Amen. Seven again. And he says the phrase a new song occurs seven times in the Old Testament. And in Psalm 29, the phrase the voice of the Lord is found seven times. Wow. Something special about seven, amen? By the way, there were seven men who lived to be over 900. Adam, Seth, Enos, Canaan, Jared, Methuselah, and Noah. After that, they start dying younger. I said, man, this is amazing. Amen. Hey, folks, there are some great, great truths in this book here. Amen. And the number seven is just one of those great truths. And John picks out this number seven and begins to talk about some things here. Amen. By the way, let me give you these real quick, and then we're going to have to close here in just a minute. The seven I am statements are going to be the first things that we look at. The first one is John 6:35. Let's go over to John 6:35. John 6:35. Now, by the way, he is talking about these seven I am statements for a reason that we might what? Believe that he is who? The Son of God and God Almighty. John 6:35. Who's got that one? Terrell, Derek?
John 6:35. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He
Amen. By the way, when he says, I am the bread of life, does he mean he's a loaf of bread? Does he mean he's a piece of rainbow bread? Piece of wheat bread? Amen. What does he mean by I am the bread of life? What does bread do for us? It feeds us. It sustains us. By the way, can man live by bread and water alone forever? No. Why can he live by bread alone? Well, I mean, physically, I know where you're going, sis, but why can't we live by just plain old bread?
It doesn't give us
the extra nutrients that we need. Well, answer me this, then how come Israel survived for 40 years on bread? That was a miracle. That was God. Amen. There is a difference for what man makes and what miraculous God makes. Amen. If God makes it, you can survive on it. Amen. By the way, you can survive on the word of God. Amen. It is going to help you out. Now, can you supplement it with some other studies and stuff like that? Yeah, I mean, I do. Amen. It's not going to hurt you, but you need the word of God. These all should point you to the word of God. Amen. John, the bread of life. The light of the world is 8:12. Go to John 8:12. John 8:12. We'll talk about these a little bit more in depth next week, but I want to show them to you first. John 8:12. John 8:12. And who's got that one? John 8:12. Terrell, go ahead. Amen. Is Jesus saying he's a light bulb?
No.
So what does light mean there? What does that mean? He's the light of the world. Enlighten us, amen. What else? I'm the light, yes. Tamar?
Show us the way.
What does light do? Illuminates. Amen. Hey, we turn the lights off right now. Guess what? Y'all won't be able to see good. We need light. And guess what? We are called shining what?
Right.
Amen. All right. The third one is John 10:7. Let's go over there. John 10:7. The I am sayings, amen. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. John 10 and verse number 7. Who's got that one there? Joshua? 10:7?
Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep.
Amen. Why do we have doors? What's a door? Does that mean Jesus' actual physical door? Yes.
Doors are meant to keep void stuff out.
Keep stuff out, amen. What else does a door do? Especially if you got children.
Keep stuff in.
Keep stuff in, amen. What else does a door do? Yes, ma'am.
It opens up and lets you go through. Let
you go through, amen. He says, I am the door of the sheep. Notice down in verse 9. I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. He said, you come to me, I'll save you, but I'll let you go back and forth. Amen. There's some things that you can do. And we'll talk about that later on as well. Amen. Door literally means entrance, closure, or gate. Go to John 10 and verse number 11. What does that one say? Who's got that one? Yes, Josiah? 10:11. Amen. Good shepherd. Amen. What is a shepherd's job?
Watch over
the sheep. What else does he do?
Protect
them. What else does he do? Fights off the wild animals. Amen. Feeds them. Amen. What if they get sick?
He soothes them.
Soothes them. He shears them. Had to shave all the hair off. Amen. Checks them every day. He knows them by name oftentimes. By normally, what does a shepherd normally know them by? Not so much their colors. Character. Knows them by their character. Think about Jesus. Did he have a name for each one of the disciples?
Yeah.
Were they known by their character? James and John, the sons of what? Thunder. Amen. Peter, rock, stubborn, amen. We called Thomas, doubting Thomas, amen. So going on to chapter 11 and verse 25, here's another one of Jesus' I am statements. And again, these are to prove that he is the Son of God. 11:25, who's got that one? Go ahead, Jamelli. Amen. So if he says I'm the resurrection, what does that mean? I'm the resurrection and the life. What does that mean? I'm the resurrection and the life. He did come back to life, but what does that mean to us practically? Yes, Ms. White. He is eternal. Amen. Does that help us? How? Amen. Resurrected to a new life? Through Christ. Amen. I am the resurrection and the life. Now, wait a minute. He said the resurrection. Are we dead?
Well, we are.
Dead in sin. We're dead in sin. So guess what needs to happen to us? We need to have a resurrection. We need to be born again and have eternal life. By the way, Lazarus was raised from the dead. Did he die again? Yes, he did. But guess what he was going to have throughout eternity? Eternal life. Amen. So although he was resurrected, he did die again. Matter of fact, if the priest had their way, they was going to kill him. Amen. Go to John chapter 14 and verse number 6. John 14 and verse number 6. This is one of the most well-known here. Who's got John 14, 6, G? Amen. So what is Jesus saying here? I'm the way, the truth, and life. What is he saying? Ms. White? There is no other way. Not only is he the way, he's the truth. And there is no other truth when it comes to eternal life but Jesus Christ. Amen. Not only is he the way, the truth, he's the life. He's going to give us life. Amen. So you can't beat that. And that's an absolute. Men hate absolutes. They hate absolutes. They hate them, especially when it comes to Christians. Because if Christians are absolutely right, then that means they're absolutely wrong when it comes to going to heaven. Amen. And they say, well, you can't be so narrow-minded. Well, you can, so why can't I? Amen. Well, you think your way is the only way. First of all, it's not my way. It's Jesus' way. And God said it. Take it up with him. I'm just quoting what he says. Well, you think you're just all right. I don't think I'm anything but a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Take it up with God. Amen. Brother Hall, you going to say something? Terrible, terrible. Amen. And people will buy that book too. Yeah, they'll flock and buy it. Amen. What they need to do is go and buy this one. That's what they need to do so they can interpret what he's saying. Amen. All right. And the last one, John 15. John 15. And notice what he says down there. John 15. Who got that one? John 15. Joshua?
I am a Jew, vine, and my father is a husbandman.
Amen. I am the true vine. By the way, what good is a vine? Produces fruit. Amen. He says he is the true vine. So that tells you what about vines? Some of them ain't no good. Amen. If he says I'm the true one, if he says I'm the good shepherd, I mean, there's some bad shepherds out there. Amen. Hey, if he says I'm the way, the truth, and life, there's some falsehood ways out there. Amen. If I'm the true vine, that means there's some false vines out there. If he says I'm the bread of life, there's some other food out there that'll lead you to death. Amen. So everything that God says, I'm the light of the world. Satan, it can be the false light out there as well. Amen. So everything that God comes with, Satan has a counter to it. to try to prove that he is something when he is nothing. So God has to go out of his way giving us seven of these I am statements to let you and I know who he is, what he is, that we might believe. Amen. By the way, did many people believe? Yes, did many people not believe? You heard several statements. They said, ye believe not, ye believe not, ye believe not. He said, if you don't believe on me, you're going to die in your what? You said, why? I am the way, the truth, and the life. So those are seven I am statements that we're going to be looking at. Then we're going to look at seven sign miracles, then the seven witnesses. And by God's grace, we're going to get through with this in a timely manner, if there is such a thing. Amen. All we got is time. That's right. Jesus might come. Amen. We still be talking about it. Say, Lord, give us the real version. Amen. Pastor gave us the repeated version. Amen. Continue thinking about, those things, the sevens, because seven is a real special number when it comes to John's gospel. And because of that, John is writing for two purposes: to prove that Jesus is God, but then also providing multiple opportunities for us to believe. You can't read John's gospel and not get some kind of belief system in you. Amen. Unless you're just absolutely don't want it. Amen. But if you can read this and underline the times that are believing are in there, and read what he's saying, read what he's doing, and read what others are saying about him, you can't help but believe that he is the Son of God, and many have said it. And by the way, you and I are witnesses as well, because we say the same thing. Amen. God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Amen. So we're going to find the seven miracles here, the seven I am statements, the seven witnesses. The other things we probably won't get into, I'll probably just kind of mention them to you and let you go and research those on your own. But we'll start looking at these next week, because the contents on your outline there, pick your outline up real quick as we close here. The contents down there, that section is all about what this is about. These seven I am statements, these seven miracles, these seven witnesses. John wanted people to believe. And that's the whole premise behind what he's writing. And he wants you not just to believe any old thing. He wants you to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. And so I encourage you, as you read the Gospel of John, start underlining, believe, 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 underline it, go over it again and again and again. We'll pick up with this next week, look at some more of the believes in the Gospel of John, and then begin to look at these I am statements. Amen. Because what I want us to do is this. You need to take these and apply them to you. What does that mean to you? If he says, I'm the bread, what does that mean to me? If he says, I'm the bread, what does that mean to you? If he says, I'm the vine, what does that mean to you? If he says, I'm the light of the world, what does that mean to you? Because if we don't personalize, it's not going to do any good. I've got to say, okay, Lord, you said you were this. So evidently you're that for me. So what does that mean to me? And how can I put that into practice in my life? Because folks, everybody needs to see. Everybody needs to see this. You know, he's the light of the world. Yes, he is. But God wants his light to work through you. Are people going to see Jesus Christ? No, I'm saying physically. Are they going to see him walking down the street?
No.
But who are they going to see? They're going to see us. So they've got to see that we are in the vine. They got to see that we are that light. They got to see that we do have that bread of life. They got to see that we do have that way, that truth, that life. Jesus is those things, but we've got to be in him and show that to a thirsty world that he can be what they need, because they need to believe. And they will not believe without the word. Amen. So we'll pick up with this next week. Amen. And I'm really trusting God to work in our lives, because there's some exciting, exciting things in here that we can draw just from the Gospel of John. Father, thank you so much for what John has been led by the Holy Spirit to write down. Lord, there's so much gold in here, so much wisdom in here, so much jewels in here for believers. God, I pray that we would take these things and, Lord, be what you would have us to be, do what you would have us to do, and go where you would have us to go. Lord, so much about this number of seven, numbers of completion and perfection, and John makes good use of it. God, help us, Lord, to really see what's going on here with the many things that are being portrayed in John's gospel. And Lord, when we see it, help us not to just see it, but, Lord, to embrace it, to put it in our lives and then to live it. Lord, help us to leave out of here going to be that light that people need to see, holding our hands out of the bread of life that people need to have. Lord, telling people about the way, the truth, and the life, Lord, letting them know that Jesus Christ is our resurrection and our life. And Lord, help us to live it, that others can see a living testimony of the grace and the goodness of God in our lives. Again, raise up our loved ones that are ill, not with us tonight, and those that are working, those that are out of town, keep them safe, bring them back. Lord, most of all, help us to be a testimony of the grace and the goodness of God. Help us to leave here differently than we came in. Lord, a little bit more enlightened to the Gospel of John, and what's there, Lord, and what we can do with it to better our lives for Christ Jesus. Work in us now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. Pastor White's got our announcements. Pastor White, come on up. Yes, ma'am. Hopefully it's not out of print. Devil may have banned it by now.